You're listening to Scratching and Thriving, a lifestyle podcast hosted by two dope professionals who are passionate about empowering people to thrive. I'm Dr. A.
And I'm Brandon. And we are two longtime friends who met about 20 years ago during undergraduate studies. And we took two different paths in life. I'm a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru.
And I'm an educator and entrepreneur.
And we are here to bring you the content that will help you thrive. Okay, so I'm sick of this. And I know that I can't be the only one in America that's tired of this.
Well, tired of what?
I'm tired of COVID-19. Oh. Well, I just want to put it out there. I'm just sick of it.
Now it's going to be here for a while.
I understand.
So
I do get it. It don't mean that I ain't going to be sick of it.
Well, that's true. True. But you got to adjust. We got to adjust, people.
We adjust in the best way we can. You going to let me take my time. I mean, it don't matter where I am. I work in it, so I don't get a break from it there.
Mm-hmm.
When I get in my car, I see people riding around in these cars with masks on, which is so disturbing to me. I just don't
stand
at peace. But that reminds me of it. Then you turn the television on, and it reminds you of it. Even the commercials have adapted themselves to people wearing masks and promoting social distancing and all of those good things, which those are fantastic things to reduce the spread of virus. Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I am sick of it.
Yeah.
Speaking of COVID-19, so you know, on our website, on our Facebook page, we posted, how has COVID-19 quarantine affected your friendships? And we had quite a few responses, which was very interesting to me. I think the overwhelming majority said that it wasn't it didn't affect their friendships at all. The other half said that it made their bond stronger, which, if I think personally, it probably has.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like people came out the woodwork. What about you?
You know, I can see when you have mature friendships and friendships that you've had for a very long time, I could see how this would not be as impactful. COVID would not impact your friendships in the same way, because you talk to those individuals all the time. You have a rhythm with them. They know what to expect from you. You're probably connected on social media. So that makes sense. I think, though, it's those people who sometimes you're building a friendship with, whether it be in the workplace or personally. Those relationships you kind of started to see. Those are acquaintances in a lot of ways. You started to see those relationships kind of taper off. I didn't really have too many people come out of the woodwork, like old exes and friends who I hadn't talked to in 15, 20 years. I didn't really have that, probably because I wouldn't have answered the phone if I didn't recognize the number. So,
well, so, you know, I've had my number since, I believe, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that I did have people come out to woodwork, but I think it was more of, we know you work in healthcare, so we're checking on you.
That makes sense.
So it was more of that. It was a couple of them that straggled in there, and I was like, "Who? Where you come from, Hoppo? Who this person?
Hoppo, who this?
Who this person?" But, I mean, there was just a couple of them. But I will say, though, I think that it did define what a fair-weather friend is.
Yes.
So, like my grandmother used to say, you know, fair weather friends are there when the weather is nice, but when it gets rocky, you can guarantee they won't be there. So I think that the quarantine...
But can you really call them a friend?
Well, and that's true. That's true. Because, see, I think the quarantine did make it very easy to congregate and to entertain each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to take so many provisions and so many obstacles that fair weather friends ain't going through all that.
Right.
So, and you pose a good question, are they truly friends?
So how do you define friendship? Like, what's important to you in your friendships?
I would say it would have to be, we have to have the trust factor.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to be able to trust you. To work with you, to deal with you, period, I have to be able to trust you. The trust factor, and I like friendships where you both is a give and take relationship. mm-hmm. where both parties should be benefiting. It shouldn't be one person benefiting more than the other, or someone never benefiting the fruits of the friendship, if that makes sense. I think we all play a part in each other's lives, but I think that we all should benefit from each other being in our lives, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I would say I would say fair weather friends are probably more acquaintances,
yes.
like you said before. And acquaintances mm-hmm. typically are the ones that are going to be your party friends.
Right.
The ones you go out with.
When things are going well.
Right. They ain't going to call it. That's not the ones you call when you need $50.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, you got some friends you probably need to call with no $50 request. Mm-hmm. But
it's important to me. Communication is important. And we don't have to talk all the time. But it has to be a quality conversation when we talk. And it has to be a judgment-free zone. In right. my friendships. So, right. because if I have to watch my tongue and I can't speak freely and trust, go back that trust piece, that if we have a disagreement, you're not running around town talking about things that we may have discussed. There's a level of maturity that comes with that in general, but my tolerance for something like that is very low, very low.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought up communications
mm-hmm.
because communication is definitely a two-way street. I have a rule. Call you once or twice. I will text you once or twice or do a combination of one of each.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't respond or you don't answer the phone, my thought is you don't want to talk to me
mm-hmm.
because we have caller ID. It's 2020. We got caller ID. You saw me calling you. Because I can mm-hmm. tell you through times where I don't answer the phone, I might see you calling me, but I'm going to call you back.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm always the one reaching out in the situation, to me, that's not a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
That communication should be a two-way. Yeah, it's one side, and that's not a friendship. Mm-hmm. That's more of an acquaintance. It's big, y'all. I'm glad you brought that up because that is a big point. Trust and communication are two huge things for me in relationships.
They are. In the judgment-free piece, because I have friends who have some very interesting lives. And
correct.
I'll tell you, some of the things that they've shared with me over the years is, you know, we don't always agree on certain things, some of their relationship statuses and something, the way they handle their children or sometimes the way they handle their parents. You know, I don't always agree, but I'm a friend and I will hear you. And we can talk about what my opinion is and why you feel the way you do and lean on each other in that way. But I don't ever feel like it's okay for me to judge them. It's okay for me to say, I may say you're wrong. I disagree with you. I don't like that you did that. But you are the one who really has to live with those consequences, not I. And so as a friend, I will be there for you. I've had friends tell me, you know, I'm going through something and I'll say something to them like, oh, this is just, I hope it works out. And one of my girlfriends, she's like, it's not. I'm just going to tell you, it's not.
Well, so, you know, me and my best friend been best friends, what, 22 years?
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I'm going to say something to make him mad.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact, and I always preface it with, okay, I'm going to say something to go make you mad,
mm-hmm.
but, and he's like, here we go, but whatever, we had a discussion today, which was hilarious, because we were talking about friendships, and we were talking about how things have evolved over time, and he was talking more about his newer friendships, how they're kind of fragile, and people don't like to hear the truth. He was mm-hmm. like, I've been friends with you 22 years, and you just tell me just like it is. I said, at that point, ain't no point in sugarcoating it. Because, you know, I know I'm going to make you mad. Right. It ain't the first time you've been mad. Probably won't be the last.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going to be mad at me. But mm-hmm. I say it out of love. You know, I'm not saying to make you mad. And I think that's the difference, being able to have that level of respect for each other, to be able to say, you know, I didn't like that. You made me mad, but I love you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the definition of friendship to me.
To be able to get past it, like that, like you said,
right?
Recognizing that it's out of love, it may take you some time to heal from what you heard. You, as the person who said it, may have to say, you know what, maybe I could have said it differently, and take some ownership in it. But I think friends can do that. because of that trust. And they can say that. And being able to get past the, girl, it's not going to work out. And you're just like, well, I'm going to give it a try anyway, sis, okay?
But you, and you know what? And with friendships, you, sometimes you have to be encouraging, when even though you know that they ain't finna work. But you know, sometimes people have got to find out on their own.
For themselves.
Right. Yep. And I found
out. And it usually has to do with the relationship.
It does. It depends on how deep the relationship is. Sure. And I was listening to something on the television the other day. And the guy was like, okay, so we're going to test how strong this friendship is. And then the girl said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm going to tell you how ugly that dress is, but I'm going to tell you, you can't get in my car wearing that ugly dress, but we still going to be friends after. So I'm trying to preface how I'm going to tell you this. And I said, oh, they got to have a real strong friendship to survive that one. Because she thought she was cute.
Exactly.
It was exactly. It's so funny how you can just look at certain people, how they interact with each other, and you can tell how deep the friendship truly is.
Right. Right. And, you know, friendship matters during this time because a lot of people are feeling isolated. A lot of people are feeling like they're struggling with addiction and all of these things. And so having a friend that you can lean on, call, talk to, reminisce with, that is imperative during this time. So.
And, you know, technology has also helped friendships, too.
That's because right.
Had this a quarantine and pandemic had been even, I would say, 10, 15 years ago, we wouldn't have Zoom. We wouldn't have Teams. We didn't have FaceTime. We didn't have all these avenues to continue to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that helped a lot of these people who responded to the Facebook post saying that we're still going strong. It hadn't affected my friendships. It's because we also have the technology to help us utilize and foster the relationship further. And, you know, it's almost if you hadn't heard from people before, after the pandemic, with all the resources we have at our fingertips, there's really no excuse.
Right. Right.
So yeah, there's no excuses why you can't reach out to someone and say, hey, how are you? And people use the excuse as, I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. Busy is so relative.
Because you make time for the things correct. That are important.
You can make time for whatever you want to make time for, period. Mm-hmm. And there should be no excuse as to why you let anyone or any situation come between you and your friends.
Mm-hmm. I will definitely say my friend circle is small. Most of my friends are either from high school or college and a few maybe from grad school. But the bulk of them are childhood friends. We grew up, went to church together, went to school together, and we just know each other. We've known each other for years. And then my college friends, it's probably about two or three of them that I really keep in contact with. And again, the relationship, the bond, my roommate is one. We've been friends for years, and we have gone periods where we didn't talk for a couple of years. And not because anyone was mad at anyone, it was just life. Life got in the way, but when we did talk, things picked back up.
Just like y'all had never stopped a conversation.
Absolutely. Now, I have one friend that I met at a job. Well, I was working a job. I was younger. This job had me traveling all up and down the East Coast. And we worked together and we talked, and she ended up moving across. She moved to Texas for a little bit, lives in Chicago now. And we talk all the time, and we have been good friends since. But those types of friendships are rare for me.
Well, you know what? I think I have some of the closest bonds with the people I went to nursing school with.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't nothing like going through the bowels of hell with somebody and surviving to the end and having that kind of bond. So when I tell you, going through nursing school, you had to have, it was teamwork. Like, you can't do that by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. And we had to literally rely on each other to get through every single class, basically. And it was almost like a long 3-year hazing. That's how it felt. And then finally, at the end, you so worn. I looked at my graduation pictures of nursing school, and I looked pitiful. I looked throwed away. I had gained about 20, 30 pounds. Hair was all over my head. And I was thinking, I'm just glad to be through. I didn't even care. Mm-hmm. And everybody I stood up on this stage with was a friend of mine, and we looked at those pictures. We were like, we look terrible. but we survived. And mm-hmm. the friendships are truly the reason why I think we survived how we did. Because mm-hmm. we started the class with 150 people. Mm-hmm. And we were a night weekend program because most of us worked full time during the week. And we a lot of them had families and kids and all of that. So mm-hmm. we started out with 150 people, 32 graduated.
Mm-hmm.
So the 32 that graduated, we still talk today.
Mm-hmm. That's
actually,
good.
There actually is not maybe it's one or two that we don't quite know where they went. But for the most mm-hmm. part, we have continued conversation with everybody for the last 15 years.
Yeah. That's really good. That's really good. No, I can't say that for the doctor. Now, I can say that for my line sisters, obviously. We still stay in contact, but we all actually have moved outside of the greater Philadelphia area. So I'm the only one, the implant, right? I am the only one that's still here. All of my other line sisters are either in New York or DC or Virginia, Jersey. So, but we are close in that regard. But grad school, I didn't experience the same thing there because the dissertation process is so lonely. You're on an island by yourself. So going through the coursework, I think we were all close. But once we got ready to actually work on the research, I can't even tell you where people went after that.
Well, and I think that just goes to show you that different situations
yes.
Breed a different variety of friendships and mm-hmm. relationships, because I think the harder the struggle, a lot of times, the stronger the friendship. Mm-hmm. So those people that you go through a lot with,
mm-hmm.
the stronger the bond. Because, you know, it's I got some friends that we done been through some stuff together, a whole lot of stuff mm-hmm. together, stuff we probably won't even talk about.
Exactly.
But I know that between them and I, it won't ever be talked about because mm-hmm. it probably happened 10, 12 years ago. And we still look at each other cross-eyed like, how did we survive that one?
Mm-hmm.
And you build that bond and that closeness that you just can't. It's not easy to find. It's a rare thing to find. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you find those type of people, you hold on to them.
Right.
And I think that's where the quarantine comes in. And that's why people said, you know, we're still going strong, because they found those friendships that were able to survive all kind of adversity. And quarantine is just a drop in the bucket compared to what they survived before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think when you asked me before, how do I define friendship? Friendship has a lot of communication. It has an overwhelming abundance of trust. And we probably have gone through some stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
Those three elements to me make a true solid friendship. And mm-hmm. with those things, you can pretty much survive anything.
Mm-hmm. You know what I will say to the thrivers, whatever your success factors are, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish and do, you cannot do it void of friends. You need a network. You need somebody you can rely on, somebody you can do an ugly cry with, somebody you can call, whether it's to watch your kids while you go or come over and sit and read your paper, whatever it is. So during these COVID times, tired as Brandon is of hearing about it.
And I am.
I would say reach out to some people. Reach out to some old friends, old acquaintances. And see if you can rekindle some friendships, relationships. Because during this time, people are really struggling, and people are struggling with their mental health. People are struggling financially. And to hear from a good friend can go a long way.
And I agree. And I think that, you know, we have an abundance of technology at our fingertips. So at this point, there is truly no excuse as to why you can't reach out to that person and say, hey, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what can I do for you? Hey, do you need anything? Because mm-hmm. you never know what someone is struggling with. Because don't get fooled by social media, y'all.
Mm-mm.
The social media can be smoke and mirrors a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So call people, touch base with them. Regardless of what you see on social media, check on them to make sure that they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a quarantine out here, and the struggle is real.
Yes.
It has not been easy for anyone. It really does not matter what field or what industry you work in. Everyone has been impacted.
Mm-hmm.
So love each other. Check on each other.
All right, Adrian. I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So
right.
Let us know. Let us know. What's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us so that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right. And look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations that we can tell you how to overcome some of these humps. I'm just telling you.